There are basically two plans that most men have in mind when they consider the subject of taking care of their wives. One is an insurance plan, and the other is a savings plan. And this seems to be the only basic concern that a man has, and to him there is nothing else really he's obligated to do besides provide these two types of programs for his wife, for these two plans. That is, I'm planning to take care of my wife if I die, and I'm planning to take care of my wife when I retire. But my question is, what of the long stretch of years that's more than likely to take place between the time you die, or before you die, or before you have time to retire? There's a lot of years that take place in between that period before you normally die and before you normally retire, especially if you've just married and you probably, if nothing unusual happens to you, you probably will have 40, maybe 50 years of married life. Well, what are you going to do in the meantime if you're the husband? Now, most men say, well, I have no plan. I only know of an insurance plan, and I only know about a savings plan. I don't have any other plans. Well, if you're Christian this morning, if you're not, you can become a Christian. God has another plan. It's called the marriage plan. Now, that may draw a blank in the minds of a lot of people, but God does have a plan for all those years before you face death and before you face retirement. And God's marriage plan offers wisdom, heavenly wisdom, divine wisdom, accurate wisdom that can be used to govern the marriage that a man and a wife enter into to cause it to produce the greatest amount of joy and benefit. If each person will do their part in God's planned wedding performance, then you will produce a beautiful marriage. Now, we've talked about the part of the wife. We're not going to go back into that this morning. Her role is to be an advisor, to be an admirer, and to be a cheerleader. In order to carry out that, she must submit herself to man's need. And man needs an advisor, an admirer, and a cheerleader. So women, don't be reluctant to submit to your husband's three basic needs. That's your role in life. Now, we're talking about what is the man's role. That's found in Ephesians 5, 25 and 28, which says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and husbands, love your wives as you love your own body. Now, so far, we have learned that submission is required on the part of both the husband and the wife. Normally, a man says, well, the woman's role is to submit. If you were with us last Sunday morning, you will know that God says to the man, yes, but your role is also to submit. The wife submits to the husband's needs and leadership, and the husband must submit to the example of Christ, that example being how he loves the church. We must submit ourselves as husbands to his example. I am to teach my wife what true submission is by giving unto her an example of my submitting to Christ and his example. Now, we stated last time that the marriage was designed primarily to give to the wife her dearest and greatest friend on earth. Now, that's what the woman, in a real sense, is giving to the man in her role. She is giving her husband a friend. But the friendship in marriage is supposed to be a two-way street. And so God is saying to the man, your wife is deserving of a friend. And so marriage is nothing but uniting two people who desire to be friends with each other, friends of the dearest kind. And any husband who does not know how to make his wife a good friend never will make a good husband. Many a man studies long how to be a great lover, how to be a great Romeo, but little to no time on how to be a real friend, how to take care of his wife, how to care for his wife, how to do good by his wife. These are all traits of a friend. And many a husband does not show his wife friendship. He's not really friendly with her. And yet that is the one thing that God says she deserves from the man in the marriage relationship. Some of the most common charges that's brought against the husband. He's inconsiderate. He is insensitive. He is incompatible. And he is intolerable. All four marks of anyone who is not desiring to be another person's friend. And you will never be able to bring these four charges against anyone who shows himself friendly towards you. A friend is considerate. A friend is above all sensitive. A friend is above all compatible. And a friend is above all tolerable. I mean, a friend puts up with things nobody else will put up with. And so the wife that has a husband who is a friend immediately eliminates almost all the problem areas within the marriage. Now the wife is entitled to have a husband who is a star in her eyes at this thing of being a friend. Now as you all know, a star has 5 points. And I'm going to say this morning that the husband should show himself friendly towards his wife in 5 different ways. The 5 points in her eye that make him a fantastic star or a fantastic friend. Now, if a man is to be the friend of his wife as God intended and ordained him to be, then he needs to have these 5 areas of his life involved in his friendship towards his wife. As his wife's friend, he is to show unto her that he is her star provider. You know, the wife has a lot of prayers that she makes to God. A lot of times, maybe she never tells her husband what she prays for. She might think, well, that's none of his business. But did you know that many times God, working behind the scenes, will seek to answer the wife's prayers through her husband? He has to provide the answers for many of her prayer requests. What I'm saying is, she prays, she has a need, God blesses the husband, supplies the husband with the solution to her need, and then in friendship, the husband supplies her with the thing that God has given to him. Now, I think the husband should constantly be taking inventory of his wife's needs. Needs she expresses, needs that he sees, and this would mean keeping things around the house in shape. If her vacuum cleaner's broke, well, brother, fix it. If you can't fix it, then get it fixed. If the washing machine's broke, fix it. You know, you ought to be constantly on the alert as to what is her needs. And it's your job as her provider to care for her needs. I don't just mean physical needs, and I don't just mean material needs. If she needs some clothes, then get them for her. Whatever she needs, then you ought to do by her as you'd want to do by yourself. And so the man is to provide not only for her physical and material needs, but he's also to provide for her personal needs. So what do you mean? I think she has a need to be complimented. She has a need to be thanked. How long has it been since you thanked her for doing the dishes, thanked her for doing the clothes, thanked her for taking care of the house, thanked her for just putting up with you? I think, you see, we need to recognize she has personal needs. How long has it been since you complimented her? Well, she doesn't do anything to compliment her for. Well, then that's your problem too. Why don't you see to it that she does do something? That she does become something that you can compliment her for. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. I believe she has personal needs, and I don't know what a woman's personal needs are that you're married to. That's going to be for you to discover, but she has personal needs. Maybe she has a need to get out of the house. Maybe she has a talent that she needs to develop. Maybe she can paint. You ought to buy her some paints, buy her some oils, send her to school. I mean, she has personal needs that make her feel worthwhile. Let her develop her skills. But as a provider, you see yourself as the giver of gifts of all kinds, of all varieties. Gifts that you feel will please her. Gifts that you feel are necessity. She has to have these things. Gifts that you feel are needed to calm her. Gifts that you feel are needed to take care of her, to make her look attractive. If she doesn't look good to you, well, then you do something about that. See her in the beauty parlor. Get her some makeup. Get her fixed up for you. I mean, provide for her beautification if that's something you want. You want her to look real attractive? Well, then you make it possible for her to look attractive. And then when she gets that, well, you compliment her for it. Now, as a provider, just look around and see what you can do to care for your wife. Consider all of her needs, physical, material, and personal. Where there is a need, it's your obligation as her truest and dearest friend to do something for her. If you don't, who else will? You're going to ask the man's woman's husband next door to look after? I mean, who's going to do it if you don't do it? And that is your job as the Christian husband's friend, is to provide for her needs. You're her provider. Secondly, as the wife's friend, the husband should show himself to be her star protector. This means more than protecting her against some ruffian that might run to the front door and beat on it and punch her in the nose. That's not ever going to happen, the normal rule. But that's the way a man thinks he's protected. Well, if she ever gets in trouble, I'll come up and get my gun out and I'll protect her. Well, she's probably not going to need that kind of protection. I do think you ought to protect her against sarcasm. I think you ought to protect her against undue criticism from her in-laws. That's right, from your folks and from her folks. Leave her alone. Don't allow your folks to run down your wife, period. That's it. Protect her from the wrong kind of treatment by your own children. Don't let them sass her. Don't let them mock her. Don't let them call her names. You protect her from that kind of verbal abuse. Because I believe women are more easily upset and are less able to defend themselves against that kind of mental harassment. Protect them from abuse. And I'm going to throw in here, especially from your abuse. Especially from your complaints and your sarcasm. And especially in public. I mean, you're to be her protector. Well, don't run her down in public. Protect her against your insults. Protect her against your unfair criticism. Protect her against your public downtroddings. If you're to be her star friend, then that includes protection from all things such as this that really upset anybody, especially the wife. You just don't treat your friend that way. I mean, you don't take a friend and stomp on them and insult them and kick them and abuse them and belittle them and besmirch them. You don't do that to a friend. Now, husband, you be a friend to your wife. She deserves that from you. You treat her with respect, and you demand that other people treat her with respect. You treat her kindly, and you demand other people treat her kindly. Now, that's from you and from everybody else. That is your obligation towards your wife. All right? Thirdly, as your wife's friend, you should show yourself to be her star professor. Star professor. You say, what do you mean, professor? Teacher. I'm using all P's here to give you the names of the titles of things that you need to do, the obligations that you have as her friend, and I'm using all words that start with a P. And so we're now on the professor, the teacher. Especially, is this your obligation to your wife in spiritual matters? At times I have women call me up. Of course, being a preacher, that's the the area you turn to, I guess, in situations where you want to have some information. But they'll call me up and they'll say, I have a Bible verse, preacher. Would you explain to me what this means? Well, I'm a little reluctant to tell a woman what the Bible says. So how come you're the preacher? Well, that's not my role. In 1 Corinthians 14:35, and I'm going to paraphrase this for you. You can look it up yourself. But Paul said instructions to the church, if the woman has a question while she is in the public assembly, she is to keep quiet in the service, and later on when she gets home, she is to ask her husband for the answer. 1 Corinthians 14:35. Now, I'm not the woman's husband that calls me up. Although I am a minister and although I am a teacher and I feel like that is my gift, and I'm always very tempted. I'll be glad to sit down for hours and talk to anybody about the Bible. I love to talk about Scripture. But you know, that's not my role. That's the husband's role. And I want the wife to look to the husband for spiritual instruction, not to the preacher. Now, I know some wife's going to say, well, my husband doesn't even go to church. My husband wouldn't know Genesis from Matthew. He doesn't know anything about the Bible. He never reads the Bible. What could I ask him? He doesn't know. Well, have you ever thought that maybe that's one way to get him to find out if you ask him? He'll probably answer you, well, I don't know. And you ought to say, well, find out for me. Maybe he'll call the preacher. Now, I'm free to talk to the husbands. Tell the husbands what the Bible says, then they can tell the wife. Well, that makes the husband feel good because he's told the wife something she doesn't know and she's looked to him for help. It makes me feel good because I've helped him. He appears to be more important in her eyes. And now he's begun to realize his job is to find out what the Bible says. So he might come to church for a change. You know, I don't believe anybody likes to appear ignorant about anything. And so if you ask your husband a question, he can't answer it. Well, then ask him to find out for you. Well, chances are he's going to go ask somebody. And I think that's a pretty good way to get him involved in reading the Bible. Get him involved in going to church. Get him involved in Sunday school. Get him involved in talking to the preacher. You might get your husband and the preacher together sometime. That'd be a pretty good asset for a lot of wives. It sure would be helpful for a lot of preachers, too. But I just feel like that the husband's role is to be the instructor of his wife. If she has some need of knowledge, whether it's spiritual or financial or political or any kind of knowledge, I think a woman ought to be able to ask her husband. A lot of husbands go around and say, my wife, she doesn't know nothing. She's a real dummy. She doesn't keep up with anything. Well, brother, that's a reflection on you. Why aren't you teaching your wife about all the things that you think is important in life? That's your job. That's your role. You're her instructor. If you don't want to do that, then you shouldn't have gotten married. A lot of men get married and they don't realize what their role is in life. Well, brother, that's part of the obligation of marriage. The protection and the providing and now being a professor. So if your wife is not as smart as you think she ought to be, well, get out the books and the pencil and the paper, brother, and get to teaching. Not only that, but I think in the same light, if you asked your wife to help you do something, to help you fix something, well, then you instruct her. Don't expect her to know your mind. Don't expect her to read your mind when she's trying to help you. Don't expect her to be as good as you are at it. Don't expect her to know anything. You tell her what you want her to do, and then you won't have any right to fuss at her. Because if you tell her what to do and she does it, you've got to complain against yourself because it's your instructions. A lot of women continue to gripe at the women while they're working together. Well, that's probably because she doesn't know what she's doing. The reason is you've never taught her. Teach her. That's part of the job of being a good husband. A friend would do that. A friend would say, come here, let me show you what to do. Let me show you how to do it. Now, that's what a friend would do. He wouldn't say, oh, you dumb one. You dumb cluck. Don't you know anything? A friend would not talk like that. So be a friend to your wife. Nora, be her teacher. I tell you, there's so many things being taught today over television, over the back fence, through magazines and newspapers. You better be careful what your wife is learning. Somebody's teaching her. You better find out what she's being taught. And you might want to give her some new instructions. I guarantee you, I want to know what my wife believes. I want to know what she's thinking, what she's reading, what she's seeing, and what she's going to believe. I don't want no big surprises. My wife believes something way out in the far left field. I want to know what's going on in my home. I want to be right in the middle of all the believing that's going to be taking place. If everybody else is going to feed my wife some thoughts, I'm going to feed my own wife some thoughts. All right, that's your obligation. I'm going to be hard on them in this morning, but I think we don't understand our role as a husband. We're to be a friend. Now, that's all a friend is. Now, as a wife's friend, she's seeing her husband a star priest. See, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the priest, number one, is like Christ in the sense that Christ is our high priest. And what does he do? Well, he's an intercessor. What's an intercessor? That's a person who prays somebody else. Now, if you want the best for your friend, there are a lot of things you can't give your friend, and so you have to look at somebody who can give them to him, and that's the Lord. And what I'm saying here is that you ought to lay before the Lord, lay before your Heavenly Father, your hopes and your plans and your visions and your desires and your dreams and your concerns for your wife. Lift your wife up in prayer to God all the time. Pray for her. And therefore, you're calling into operation the greatest power in all the world on half your wife. I mean, a friend is concerned about somebody getting what is best. And so you're asking that your wife, who is your friend, get from God what is best. Not only that, but you ought to be in prayer that God equip you and enable you to be smart enough and bold enough to be the man you ought to be as your wife's friend. Ask God to bless you so you can bless her. Because I believe this, if God can, through prayer, make her pleasing to you, well then, she'll be pleasing to you. If he'll make her pleasing to him, then she'll be pleasing to you. Now that, but a priest's job is to see that those under his care walk the straight and narrow way. And I believe that's your role as a priest, to keep your family in line. Scriptural line. As the priest, it's always your desire to refrain from damaging her soul and dampening her spirit. To keep her eyes always heavenward. I don't believe anyone hinders the spiritual growth of a wife more than a disinterested, disgruntled husband. Your job is to promote her spiritual growth. As the priest, that's your job. And that's your role as the leader. And your job is not to make her to suit you, but to make her to suit Christ. If she suits him, she'll suit you. And I'll say this also in that same connection, that you don't have the last word. As the priest, God has the last word. You're not the boss. God's the boss. And as your job being the priest takes place, you'll keep reminding yourself, I'm not the boss. God is the boss. You don't have the last word. God has the last word. Now, last of all, as the priest's friend, as the wife's friend, you need to show yourself to be her star partner. And all this just simply means that work it togetherness. I'm always saddened by a wife who says, well, my husband was on vacation for 2 weeks, and man, am I glad he's gone back to work. He's driving me crazy. You know, what are they going to do when they retire? They can't stand each other for 2 weeks, 24 hours a day. You know, the Bible says a friend sticketh closer than a brother. Would you like for your wife to stick that close to you? Well, you ought to. That's one thing about friends. They like to be together. They like to be in each other's presence. They learn to do things, fun things, together. And I think this is what we need to do as the husband. We need to be the wife's partner. Be extra alert of her hurts and of her what offends her and what upsets her. The Bible says, love her as you do your own body. And I'll tell you what, I give my body tender love and care. And I underline that, tender love and care. The husband ought to try to feel what the wife feels. I hate to mention this because my wife's probably going to say amen to that. But I believe for the man to really understand his wife and the problems that she goes through and the frustrations and the monotonous routine she goes through, I believe sometimes we as husbands need to take her duty for a day. To do the dishes, do the laundry, do the cleaning, do her work, and just see how we like it. I tell you, if you get through doing what she does, you might say, man, I understand, appreciate my wife a lot better now. I'm sure glad I don't have to do this every day. But at least you'll know what she has to go through. Then I believe you ought to enjoy each other's company. Enjoy each other. Talk to each other. Listen to each other. Then, in closing, in times of conflict, as a real friendly partner, when you don't seemingly see eye to eye, husband, one of the big complaints I hear is, you never will say, I'm sorry. Well, you say it. You say, forgive me. Tell them I was wrong. Tell them I made a mistake. That's the kind of friend that you ought to be.